Welcome. Hope everybody's comfortable. We have some coffee and water and maybe over some tea over there. My name is Gene, and I want to welcome everybody to the Serenity and Joy workshop today. Oh, I am a very, very grateful compulsive eater also. And we have transistors if you need to hear this in Spanish. Para los que hablan español, tenemos equipo in a hospitality room, which is located in the beginning by the restrooms. You can get the transistors, and we have translation available today, this morning. Also, we have Maria over here. She's been in program on the translator on my right, and she's been in program since 2002, and she will be helping me translate this in Spanish. So I want to welcome her and thank her very much. This morning, we're going to start with a serenity prayer, and then I will introduce our speaker. And so let's get started. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. This morning I have great pleasure to introduce our speaker for today, Eric. This gentleman has been in program also since as long as Maria, she tells me, since about 2002. And Eric, I'm just going to have you come up here because I'm ready for you.
Thank you very much for all of you being here. Originally, I was supposed to give this topic in Spanish. I had given this in Capistrano retreats as well in Spanish about 4 years ago. I forgot that what I had said that time. I had to look at my Spanish notes and spend the last 2 days translating them into English. So you will forgive me, I have to read part of the notes. Since we speak out of our heart, it should be easy to read. That will be much easier for me to convey what I originally conveyed in Spanish the first time around. To give you a back history on myself, I started my program and was stepped up in Florida. Fred was my sponsor. I spent a couple of years in Florida before coming back to California. I'm an engineer, and I was sent to Florida to build and help the state of Florida use the same system of bridges that we use here in California. And that's how I arrived over there. At the time, I was not a member of HAL. God has a way of putting us in paths that He knows we are there for His blessings and grace to recover from compulsive eating. In my case, it was the case. I was there to build bridges that are lifted up so the boats can go through the bottom. I had not built one of those, and I wanted to build that really badly, so I accepted the transfer. I was there for 3 years. And to my grateful acceptance of His will, I came across HAL. At the time, I was in great need of the program because I had sleep apnea and I'm a diabetic, and I was overweight. In the first year, I lost 90 pounds, and that is a miracle for a diabetic to accomplish that. Of course, I'm originally from Panama, and I grew up at the near beach, the sea, and that sort of thing. And so, to me, it was natural to spend most of my time walking 3 miles a day, every night, across the beaches of Florida and Miami. And by that, and playing tennis, I suppose that helped along HAL food plan to recover and lose the weight that I did in that time. Since then, I returned back to California. I'm grateful for that. In my first year of membership in HAL, Fred was gracious enough to permit me or allow me not to share. Because as you all know, at the beginning, we have a difficulty in making calls. We have a difficulty in sharing. I had to do it in English. I'm bilingual from growing in Panama. So I really didn't have an excuse not to share right off the bat. But I was hung up on my recovery and my resentments, and I could not share those difficulties, particularly because in my culture, father and mother are sacred. And my resentment was, in effect, through their request for me to give up playing as a kid, where I had to take English classes, French classes, Portuguese classes, and God knows what else. They wanted me to be like my grandfather. So as a result, I really didn't have a childhood to begin with, because my dad felt that if I wore white sneakers, in my society, as a sports person, that wear white sneaker is a thief, and he's not necessarily a sportsman. So that, and the fact that I wanted to play the guitar, and instead I ended up playing the piano. And it wasn't until I was 40 years old, I was in Mexico City, in La Plaza Garibaldi, where 1,000 mariachis played their guitar. I pulled a $100 bill out of my pocket, and the first mariachi that came in front of me, I bought my guitar. And that's how I started playing the guitar. So that gives you a little idea of my background and the things that I have had to work at. I feel I'm still working at it. And my topic today is going to be serenity, and it's going to be the joy of 24/7, whether it be abstinence, it be spirituality, it be the best you can be. And essentially, this is really what this program is all about. I've given up on being hung up on the weight. I would like to still lose weight, and I still walk every day half an hour. I do Tai Chi half an hour, and I do yoga 3 times a day, 2 hours a day. So I'm still working at maintaining myself the best I can. But being a diabetic, the metabolism doesn't work all that often. And yesterday, after our discussion on sweeteners, I walked up to Ray and reminded her that she had written a report on sweeteners. Why didn't she came forth in her motion to bring that out? She said, well, most people don't know about it. And I said, yeah, but we needed you to speak up. He said, no, I cannot continue carrying everybody by the hand. They have to find themselves what sweetener is all about. And this is the beginning. Granted, we did vote it down the way it was, abortion came up, and eventually we did find the right thing to do, and that was to pass it on to a committee to work out the program like it should be. Personally, I know from reports overseas, the most laboratories in foreign countries, particularly in Europe, particularly those out of Spain, have written up bad reports on sweeteners to the point that the governor has even prohibited them to be consumed publicly or industrially. That will not happen in the United States because of the lawsuits that most people will find themselves into. And therefore, it's a matter of time when consciousness will step in, and that will make the changes that are necessary. aside the law and aside the monetary interest that exists in this country. And it's unfortunate, but it will happen. It's just a matter of eventually all coming to find consciousness in the spirituality. And this is my subject. I will begin going over my notes. And I will state that the recovery begins with abstinence and acceptance. Those are the very essential elements of this program. At the beginning, we concentrate on losing weight. We weigh and measure. We spend a lot of time doing all the push-ups and whatnot to find a new person bodily. And as time goes by, like in my case, spirituality begins to set in very gradually. And it all happens by steps. We find that as our higher power, God as we know Him, has given us choices. And because of those choices, we have to uncover who we really are, where we're headed, and what we have to do to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish. We cannot necessarily work out a path you can follow. You have to work it yourself. You have to find yourself in that process. Some persons go through it very fast, some very slow. Some get discouraged very easily and continue going back to old ways, even though they downright recognize that it doesn't work that way. We do need to do service, and we do have to depend on each other. But in my process, I will highlight abstinence, where it came from. It's not anonymous. Actually, the Serenity Prayer was actually done by a psychologist and a theologist. And they wrote a book on the subject. And they went and covered five things that cannot be changed, no matter what. That's just nature. And that's just the challenge that we have. Once we recognize those five things in life, that's when the higher power begins to work in the program from a spiritual standpoint. And it all begins, as we all know, by accepting that we're compulsive eaters. That begins to be step one. And therefore, from there on, as we recognize honesty and acceptance, the rest of the program begins to unfold. And it's the most beautiful process. It's a lifetime process. It doesn't happen the first year. It doesn't happen the third year. I am past the 12th year working at this program. I'm still try every day only for today to be abstinent, both physically and spirituality wise. So I will proceed to recognize that inspired by a higher power, we have all committed ourselves to live a philosophy of recovery towards growth and the best we can be. If we can recognize this, then we have a program for the rest of our lives. Being the best that we can be only for today, consciously committed to a goal of service, we accept that we are different and uniquely equal when sharing our experience of recovery of our self-esteem. We accept that our problems and changes in our lives, there has been a spiritual solution, even when there are five issues that we cannot change and in context of our lives. The Serenity Prayer comforts us by allowing us to solve our problem that we cannot change, and this, and the Saint Francis of Assisi's prayer guides us with courage towards our lives 24/7. with faith and hope, the promises are affirmations and reflections that provides us with the spiritual path of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. Gratitude for our attitude changes, for putting limits to our life styles. We have each other, and the serenity allow us unconditionally to a personal growth for life. Our recovery brings us to an intimate spiritual path with church union and the significance of service, which with acceptance of our higher power shows us his will and care for us with the promises that trust us otherwise, that of what we have not been able to do for ourselves, we have attempted it otherwise by his will. As we recognize and accept that only God and the higher power, as we know him, does for us what we otherwise could not have done for ourselves, we discover that there is a growth goal that makes us stronger, that with faith we receive the promises. We come to conclude that the serenity prayer evolves spiritually and sets limits, which consists of, one, everything changes and comes to an end. You can all relate to that as you have been growing in life. Second, planned changes do not happen as we visualize them. We have no control. Third, life is not fair. Fourth, pain is guaranteed and is a path of life. And fifth, we are not necessarily always loving and loyal all the time. I can vouch for that. As a result of the spirituality of the 12 step and 12 traditions, a higher power has transformed us towards a serenity that allows us, one, to reach a positive attitude, the result of the serenity prayer. Second, reach positive emotions, that's a must. Accomplish to be positive psychologically and spiritually, emotionally, in everything we do. Fourth, practice open-mindedness, acceptance, tolerance, honesty, compassion, total forgiveness, not just forgiveness, love, and by giving service we find love, we forgive, we pardon, and by sharing we receive and we're grateful. Those are the effects of the serenity prayer. For us compulsive eaters, only a higher power inspire us with our growth. In the seven phases of emotional and spiritual intimacy, growth. In our human relations, we become consciously developed by faces such as, and this is of the faces of life that we become conscious of. One, open mind. Phase two, honesty with ourselves and others. Third, truth. Fourth, hope, which covers both desires and fantasies. Phase five, feeling and emotions. Six, fears, blames and failures. Phase seven, legitimate needs. And I mean legitimate, because we all have desires. And that's part of why we need to separate between that which is need and that is which is desire. We spend a lot of time dreaming. A face not recognized, and spiritual growth, and unfortunately badly misunderstood. In placing our life as a biological reproductive function, in which we hardly talk about, and is in and the center of our lives is sex. Since it can become a dysfunctional addition of a temporary act with highly final demential act is not recognized as a register as part of growth, of love, but we have to accept that it's a divinely blessed thing by our higher power, and where four miracles takes place in the seven phases of intimacy, and they are: 1, we see each other through our eyes; 2, we feel our hearts; 3, we enter through our minds, and we visit each other's souls. That's true love. When we wake up and become conscious, we find ourselves in the present moment discovering the 10 reasons by which we can have a good human relation. And that is: 1, we did not establish common goals of life. This is almost a given. We did not define great relations. 3, we did not plan. We did not set goals. We did not have purpose, and we did not have intentions. 4, everything appears to be an impossible dream. 5, we do not trust and believe. 6, we do not set terminal absolute objectives. 7, we do not follow up or through anything. 8, there was no responsibility or responsibles. And 9, we surrender at the first difficulty and confrontation. And 10, we never solicited support, advice, or sponsorship. When the four miracles of the seven phases take place and the 10 reasons follow that yes, we can have good relationships, the following takes place, such as: 1, common purpose and interests are established. 2, we define what great relations consist of. 3, we agree on a plan to establish what a great relation consists of. 4, we believe that the plan is realistic. 5, we believe that the objectives can be carried out. 6, we consciously commit to the objectives. 7, we persevere until the commitments are carried out. 8, the interested parties are responsible with the plan and are committed to it and its purpose. 9, the interested parties get disappointed nor lose faith on the established goals. 10, the interested parties communicate and support each other. I have been married twice. Had I followed the conscious elements that I now put down as I write them, I can recognize where I fail, because there was never a true communication. And in most cases, our relationships are made that way. We're not conscious of what is the purpose or goal of that relationship, and lose communication as a result. But our higher power has a way of putting us on the right path. Eventually, we'll find the path. It's there. It's been there all the time. Except that we have to be silent. We have to be silent to hear what he says, what he's telling us, and what he's advising us by his will. But he's giving us choices. And in order to establish those choices, we have to be quiet and listen. By the grace of a higher power and the will, the promises 24/7 do become a reality. This is what our Say How program gives us as a blessing. That's what he shares with us. that's what this program is all about. It's a divine progress program given to very highly motivated people who needed to get recovery. Bill and company, in other words. I don't know who has had the opportunity to see the Bill play. It's an exceptionally play, but rather than concentrate on Bill, I actually pay more attention to their wives. I found out that it was the wives who were the strength of their purpose and the value of spirituality came through eventually and set in. And that's what it was all about. And thank God we now have received it in the form of a compulsive eating plan. I'll open it up to your experiences, your sharing, your progress in the program, what has worked for you, what has not worked for you, and thank you very much for being here this morning. Invito a las personas hispanas que quieran compartir el día de hoy para que aprovechen a compartirnos sus experiencias en el proceso de recuperación en este programa. Gracias.
Hi, my name is Celia, and I'm a grateful member of CAL.
Oh, you're going to talk in Spanish?
Okay. I can speak Spanish or English.
Okay.
And this week is my 4 year of my recommitment abstinence, maintaining 35 pounds from my top. And it's a great pleasure to be here. I didn't plan to be here. But my sponsee that used to be my sponsor, who brought me back to the program, say to me, why don't we keep the opportunity to go? And I said, you're right. So that's what I'm here, and I'm very grateful. Because I went to the program because of my looks, and I stayed because I really understand that I need to be here. About 15 years ago, a Spanish meeting was opened in Canoga Park by a friend of mine, and I went to give her support. But I was not ready. I was not a compulsive eater, you know. And to this day, when I start the program, all my friends, my family said, no, you're not a compulsive eater. And, you know, then I remember I used to steal candy from my grandma when I was growing up. And that's where my compulsive eating started. I was never a big girl when I was growing up because there were no food around the house. So that was the end. But I did go always to the sweets for comfort. In 2005, I lost 4 people in my family. That was my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mom. And it was very hard to keep up my abstinence because, you know, whenever I feel sad, I used to go and get my comfort food. It was a piece of this, but it was a piece of this black thing that used to comfort me. But what I did this time, I called my sponsor and I said, you know, I did this. And she said, don't worry about it, just start with the next meal. And I did that. I followed that directions. And it was up and down for a year until July 2006, by this weekend, I went out to dinner and I didn't know I couldn't have a cup of something until I shared with my sponsor because I share everything that I have, everything that I eat. And I said, well, yesterday I went to dinner and I have my regular meal, my 2 cups of vegetables and my 4 ounces of protein, but I have a cup of this. And my previous sponsor, which is not in the program anymore, I don't see her, she used to say, well, that's okay, once in a while you can have a cup of that. I said, okay. So when I went to the meeting, they asked me to be a leader. And my sponsor said, you cannot be a leader because you brought your abstinence. And I said, okay. But everybody else and one of the girls called me at home. She said, that was not right. And it didn't bother me at that moment. What happened, what is bothered me, is that I lost my abstinence for ignorance. And that, when I talked to my sponsor, I was even more annoying when she said, I have to do another 4-step. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I did that many. I'm not going to do another one. No way. No way, Jose, like we said. That was that day, but the next day I called my sponsor. I said, okay, I will do it. I will do whatever it takes to get my abstinence back. And I did it. And it was the first thing that happened to me. Because ever since, I am able to keep my abstinence 1 meal at a time. 1 minute at a time. In my family, my culture is the one, I have an aunt that she doesn't have any problem with weight or with anything. She's very disciplined. She has an open heart surgery, I don't know why, but she did. And last year I have to spend time with her on a birthday in Las Vegas, and she was the type of person that got me a piece of this wonderful thing that used to be my favorite, black thing, and she put it in my mouth. And I was like, and I back up and she said, you're not going to have a bite? I said, no. She said, I can have a bite. I said, yes, you can't, but I can't. And 6 months later, I went to Mexico City and we have a birthday party and my niece wanted to do the same thing. And she said, this is so wonderful. You need to try this. And when I explained to her, if you give me a little piece of that, it's like an alcoholic. Give a little drink. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. Because she knew about alcoholic, but she didn't know about, And she needs the program so bad. But, the only thing I can learn here used to be an example. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But I tried with my higher power. And every morning that I am on my knees and asking him to let me do his will, and then I called my sponsor and she said, are you going to go to the meeting? I said, no, I have so many things to do, I don't think so. I've been going to 2 meetings a day and blah, 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 blah. And then 11 o'clock comes and I call her, I'll be at the meeting. I have to do what I said. If I ask God that I will do his will, it's his will, not mine. And I have to do it. And, some of my people that are in my meeting, they are here, and I'm very grateful to them. Because of them, I mean, what I am. Because of the program, I went back and finished my master that I put it up. I said, I'm not going to do it. And then I started reading and writing every single day. And then I said, oh, maybe I can do that. And I did. So I'm very grateful. My life has changed completely from day and night. So the program work, and that higher power has been, I used to pray novenas, I used to pray the rosary, but my God was really high. Now my God is with me wherever I go. He's with me all the time. All the time. And I don't like him sometimes. And I don't like what he has to say to me. But I said, I'm willing. Make me willing to do your will. And, I learned that from you. And that's what I keep coming back. And I will stick with you until the end. I won't go on a sabbatical anymore. Thank you.
We plan, and it doesn't work.
The concern was, what were the five things that cannot be changed, which are the basis of the serenity prayer? And I will make it as short as possible. The most that we are aware of is that we can plan, and what we plan doesn't work. Very seldom do we find out why it didn't work, why it went wrong. Two, why can I be loved all the time? That's the first question we always ask, even as a child. We get spanked for not doing this, and spanked for not doing that, punished for not having accomplished certain things, not being first in the class, whatnot, and you wonder, why me? And those are expectations. And essentially, we cannot rely on expectations to come follow us all the time. All of this come and give us pain. That's a guarantee. We're not going to escape from pain. Pain, whether it's in a relationship, pain with our mother, pain with our sister, pain with our father. That's a given. We're going to feel it, and it's going to be there. The other thing is that whether we also are going to be loving, not all the time we're going to be loving. We're going to resent our sister or brother or a relative or a cousin. We're not always going to be faithful. We are always going to come up with a condition: if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. That's a condition that we cannot walk away from. It's our nature. And essentially, the other aspect of that is the white lies. We're not always going to be honest. Honest with ourselves, honest with others. We'll find an excuse or look for an alternative or a substitution, which is the greatest part of our eating progress. Being on the process of substituting all this for something that is easier than what we thought was what was required. So those are essentially the five things that we come across that we cannot rely on all the time, or we can change. Attitudes will set in if we have an open mind. And we have a spiritual way of solving those five things, that will be the way to go. Because St. Francis of Assisi prayer does tell us that. That it's better to comfort than to be comforted. That's step one. To pardon than to be pardoned ourselves. And that's where total forgiveness come in. All too often we forgive others, but we do not receive in kind forgiveness as well. Or if we ourselves do get forgiven, we are not willing, because we are angry, to forgive others as well, or be tolerant. So those are the elements that help us maintain a spirituality in our process. As long as we rely and work with that, God's path will be there, and He will never abandon us. And that's a guarantee. It's the only thing that I can guarantee you of the serenity prayer. So thank you for that question. Every day I have to remember that one. Because I'm full of expectations. I was trained on that decimal point, expecting that I can calculate stresses and I calculate and design my objectives. Life and people and human beings are not that way. And to me, that was very difficult to overcome. To me, everything was a set path. I had a schedule, I had a timing. Everything was calculated to the last decimal point. And I dealt with my life in the same way I was trained as an engineer. And without realizing it, I had to start recognizing that I cannot be perfect all the time. And eventually I find that there is an easier way, and the spirituality is what it really is all about. So thank you very much for having been here. Thank you so much for sharing your time and strengthening my program. By doing service, I maintain myself in these rooms. I find love and I give love back. And it's what I receive is greater than what I give. Thank you so much. Gino, gracias, Lee, por tu introducción.
Thank you, Eric. You have no handouts or anything, right? You're done with questions?
No, I didn't have time to get my Spanish version translated. I had to do it a couple of nights ago at the room. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I'm not sure what our time frame is, if we have more time, but I'd like to open it up for some sharing. If anybody wants to come up, feel free, please. We got time? Yes, I hope so.
I'm Jill, compulsive eater from Oklahoma. Thank you. My abstinence date is October 18th, 2006. My sister led me into these rooms and changed my life. When I started, I owned horses, and to get in the saddle, I couldn't just put my foot up because my gut was in the way. So I had to climb on a stool or something to get on my horse, and half the time the saddle slid, even though I had it really tight, it still slid. So I'm, 65 to 70 pounds lighter, released that. And I released the burdens. So the weight is just kind of a metaphor for what I was carrying around in my heart. And as I heard Eric speak, thank you, Eric. It came to me yesterday an experience where I received a phone call from my daughter, and I didn't get it. And my sister got the phone call because I was in meetings, and my daughter wasn't doing well. Something, her hand had gone numb, and some things were happening, and she was very scared. And then I heard about it later. And I had read in God Calling in the morning that I wasn't supposed to worry about things. I wasn't supposed to get fearful about things. That I was to trust God. My higher power was taking care of these things, and I'm to be grateful for it and thankful. And that just hit me when I heard about my daughter, because, of course, I wanted to be there and I wanted to take care of it. And what I realized was that I had read that morning for a purpose. God wanted to talk to me. He wanted to keep me serene and calm. It wasn't that I wasn't going to have feelings about it, but I could still stay in a trusting mode and stay calm about it. And my sister had been there for my daughter, even though I wasn't. And other people came in and took care of it, even though I wasn't there for her, and she turned out that everything was okay. So what I learned is that I don't have to be God. I can rely on my God, my higher power, and that, like Eric said, it's the only thing I can rely on. I'm kidding myself when I think it would have been better for me to be there taking care of things. That's just not true. I don't know how I kid myself so much, but it's just a wonder of this program that when I agreed to surrender this life to my higher power, that I found that the truth of the higher power, that my ego, that I am not in control, and I do have a director, and I do have someone in control, and I do have a loving higher power, and then I have the support of all of you in the rooms too, and so it's a wonderful, wonderful life. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have plenty of time, correct? Yeah, so if you want to introduce yourself, I know everybody's coming from different places and different areas. I guess now would be a good time to share. Anybody feel free.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Cheryl. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I'm from Portland, Oregon. Hi. Let's see. The topic was serenity and joy 24/7. Wouldn't that be nice? It is possible, though. It really is. I started program July 20th, 1994. I have released 140 pounds. And I've been on maintenance for 15 years. When I first started, of course, I came in just to lose the weight. Had no idea I had other issues. I thought that God gave me extra taste buds and food just tasted extra good to me, you know. But I lost myself. I tried all sorts of weight loss programs, of course, like all of us probably have before, and I finally made the decision that I wasn't going to try anymore. I had had it. I would lose like 25, 30 pounds when I always needed to lose more, and I would gain it back. And so finally, with my last weight loss program that I had been to, I had lost 25 pounds and then stopped going. And I prayed to God. I've always believed in God. I didn't believe about having, I didn't know how to have a personal relationship with Him. I didn't know if, that He even cared about my food or how I treated my body. But I remember doing something that was the most wonderful and best thing I could have ever done for myself, and that was to give up dieting. I gave up on it. I just said, you know what, God? You made me this way. You want me to be overweight. This is just the way I am. I'm just going to live with myself. That had to have been the best decision I ever made. But it it wasn't a happy ending right off the bat. What happened was is that I started gaining more weight. I was already overweight. I think I weighed, about 260 at the time when I said that. And I gained probably another 30 pounds. I got up to 290 within 3 or 4 months, and that scared me. That terrified me that I could not maintain being overweight. What is that? That's so scary. And in the meantime, I had lost myself. I was a very positive, upbeat person. I didn't start gaining weight until I got pregnant with my first child. I was always tall and thin as a teenager. And I wasn't happy anymore. And I didn't know who I was. And a coworker had been in Howe and lost 90 pounds. It was O.A. Howe at the time. And I asked her, I says, well, what's the difference between OA Howe and regular OA, because I had been to OA meetings and they weren't for me. And she said, well, we're positive. And I thought, wow, being positive, that's how I was raised in a church that emphasized positive thinking. And to this day, I can't believe that I ended up being so negative and such a compulsive overeater being raised in a positive church. I didn't realize at the time I had a disease. And so that, you know, light bulb went on. Okay, I'll try this. And sure enough, it was my first Howe meeting. And the rest is history. It was wonderful, of course. I sat across the tables from people who talked the same way I did and thought the same way I did and did the same things I did. And when you're in this disease, you're isolated. You're so isolated, and you think you're in your own little world. Nobody can understand you. Nobody thinks the way you do. And it was so wonderful. I didn't know what it was. I didn't quite understand why I could relate to these people. But I kept coming back. And I started nodding my head like everybody else does. And it was wonderful. I got great support. And it's funny because the serenity and joy, I didn't really know what that meant until I got into program. And people started coming up to me as I was losing weight. And people in program would say, "Oh my goodness, you have this wonderful glow." And I thought, "Oh wow, this is great," you know. And then I'd always joke with them and say, "Well, you know what, last time somebody told me that, I was pregnant, so please don't say that." And I didn't want to be pregnant again. I'd already had 3 kids. So that was kind of a running joke. But it had to have been the peace and serenity coming from inside, because even after the first week without white flour and sugar, I felt free. I lost 20 pounds that first month, but that first week I felt so different. I just felt so much lighter and happier and hopeful. I hadn't realized how far down the scale I had gone mentally and emotionally and spiritually until I called my mother and started telling her about this program. It was about 30 days into it, and I had decided I wasn't going to tell anybody about this program, because all I did for most of my 15, 20 years of up and down dieting is I would call people up, I'd get all excited about a program, I'd say all these things, "Oh, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to drink all this water, I'm going to do this and that, and oh boy, I'm just on board," you know, and then next thing you know, I'm not wanting to talk about it anymore because I'm done with it and I had quit. So I thought, you know what, this is different. I didn't know how different, but I just knew it was different. So I kept quiet for a while. So I call my mother up, and I'm talking to her about this program. And later on did a 4-step, or was it a 7-step? I can't mix that. Anyway, I made amends with both my mom and dad, which was a wonderful experience. Because I was the black sheep of the family, and I caused them a lot of heartache. But after I finished talking about the program and what I knew about it to that point after 30 days, my mother said, "Well, now, can I say something?" And I said, "Sure." And she says, "I was worried about you." And I said, "Really?" And I thought she was going to say, because I have, you know, kept going up and up on the scale and everything. And she says, "No, not only that, but every time I called, you sound depressed." She says, "I got to the point where I didn't want to call you anymore." And I said, "Really? You've got to be kidding. I didn't realize that I had absorbed that sort of negative, depressing energy. I didn't realize I was that far down with hopelessness." And she says, "And you know what?" She says, "In the last 30 days, when I call, you are just so happy. And you're just so positive." She says, "I thought you had a new boyfriend." I'd been divorced a long time, so. And I said, I had to laugh. It was so funny. I said, "Mom," I said, "this is better than a new boyfriend. I think this is going to last a lot longer." And it did. I went through quite a few boyfriends while I was in program. And now I just got married last year, so that's pretty neat. But the serenity and joy can be there, and people can see it when you don't. You exude it. It's out there. Your positive energy. I know I had a gal who shared at our meetings one time that she went to a family reunion, and she had a blind uncle, and this was the first time that she had been back since she had lost her weight and been in program, and he noticed a difference in her. And he couldn't see that she had lost weight. And that was such a wonderful story. It sticks to me to this day that you change. You change from the inside out, because that's where our issues are, from the inside. This is just a manifestation of a deeper problem. So if you work the steps and you have a sponsor and you just do it the way it's set up, it works. work it because it works. I had a gal who joined with me, and when she made her outreach calls way back then, she'd say, does your sponsor make you do this? Does your sponsor make you do that? I go, well, yeah. She didn't last because she questioned everything. I was at that point, and you have to be at that point of desperateness to do anything that you're asked to do. If she told me to stand in the corner on my head for 15 minutes a day, I would have done it. I was there. I was ready. And so I didn't question anything, and I think that's a help. And all these years, I think what's been really, truly one of the things that keeps this program stable for me is putting it at the foundation of my life. A lot of people will come in and they'll have everything in their lives like we all do, you know, stacked up, you got to do this responsibility here and there, and they put the program up here instead of putting it down here and putting it first at the foundation, because people don't realize that when you're in this program, it helps you in all areas of your life. It really does. If you stick with it long enough, you will have the answers and you will be able to cope, like the promises say, with everything in your life. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
If you'd like to just introduce yourself, please come on up. We have some time left, plenty of time.
Brought some fans with me. Hi, I'm Violet, compulsive eater.
Good morning, Violet.
Good morning. I'm here especially for the ones that have come to this convention out of the state, out of the comfort we have in LA of so many meetings, because are the ones that I want to say thank you. Not for being in the convention, for being in the phone bridge meeting, for being at your meetings, opening the door, putting up the coffee and the literature, and even though when it's only two, three, or maybe just so many nights, just you by yourself in that meeting, please don't give up. This program saved my life. I walked to a meeting on a Monday morning at September 26th with completely insured of a plan to kill myself the next day. I was 2 weeks without a shower, dressing in black. I smell. My hair was terrible. It was just, my life was completely a mess. And everything was ready, from my tequila bottle to the plan, the freeway where I was going to kill myself. Everything was set up. The reason I went to that meeting is because I didn't want to be in my home anymore. So I escaped to a meeting. That meeting that I attend to is usually a very, it's not a big meeting, it's a very little meeting. And thank God for those fellows who opened the door and stayed there on the table with the hope that someone will show up. Please don't give up. It's through those fellows who do that my life now is full of joy, freedom, and happiness. And I know that, especially for the ones who, like I said in the beginning, comes out of the state, don't give up. Don't hang up the phone. Don't get tired of attending. You never know when it's the day that another Violet will walk through those doors. You never know, and we're doing the service because we need the recovery. But you never know what life you're going to save, what life you're going to touch. So I just want you to remember that, because I'm here today enjoying my life and being grateful to God and to you, because that person that opened the door at the meeting that night. Thank you.
I'm Jennifer, a grateful recovering compulsive eater, and I'm all the way here from Glendale, California, which I think is like 20 miles. And Eric, thank you so much. Really appreciated what you had to say. When God is really speaking to me, I I hear things three times. So this morning I've heard three times, turn it over, be of service, and in different ways get over myself. So there I am. And I just want to, I've been in this program for almost 20 years, and when I got here, I was pretty desperate. My father died of diabetes. He got over, he was able to recover from alcoholism. He was actually on the street at one point when he was in his 60s, but he could not stop eating. So his life was cut short by the fork. So I am so aware that this is a life and death program, and that never leaves my mind. It's always there. However, along with that, and I was a really slow learner. I had I was 45 when I got here, and I had tried everything, and nothing worked, and I did not come for serenity. I mean, I've heard that said several times today. That was the byproduct of working this program, and I don't have it 24/7. As soon as I take my will back, I give up my peace, my joy, and my serenity. I'm married today to a person for 27 years, the biggest miracle in the world. Because I couldn't stay to the finish for anything, diets, whatever. So my top weight is about 65, 70 pounds more than now. I've lost 40 pounds in this program, and it's so sacred to me. I have a spiritual program outside of this program that brings me back to my higher power, and that's where I have to stay. And I'm such a slow learner, and I can't emphasize that enough. I didn't even look for spiritual recovery for probably 10 years. I was still miserably married to the man I had to have, you know, above all else. And my disease is a disease of more. I mean, that's just it. That's the heart and soul of my disease. So I'm a multiply flawed, and on every single day when I get up, I have a reprieve from compulsivity in so many areas. I have an opportunity to have joy. I have an opportunity to have peace. And the most important is that I have an opportunity to be of service. And thank you all for showing up and being of service. And we're so blessed in Southern California. We have so many meetings and so many opportunities for recovery. Thanks for sharing in the path.
I'm not familiar with the Phonebridge meetings, but if you're probably connected with them, you might want to get up and say hi so people can see who they're talking to. It's a good opportunity.
Good morning. My name is Roxanne. I am a grateful compulsive eater.
Good morning, Roxanne.
And thank you for this meeting, and thank you for this conference, and thank you for my life. I'm only connected to you with a Phonebridge meeting. I live in a little town in Central Valley of California, Mariposa, and I've been on the Phonebridge for about a year now. And thank you to Irish. I was originally here in OA Howe in about the year 2000, and I was just topping out at almost 300 pounds. I'd stopped weighing myself. I was sober 10, 11 years in AA and was not happy, joyous, and free. And I was crazy, and I did not know why. I cannot get happy. I talked to my sponsor. She turned me on to her sponsor, who was also in Howe, and she was my first Phonebridge sponsor. And almost 100 pounds later, I was just doing the diet, was what I was doing, and was going to meetings. I had some meetings close to me. I lived in Nevada at the time, and little by little, just separated myself. I thought I was getting it. I thought I could handle it, and I thought I, you know, could tackle the beast one more time by myself. So fast forward to last year, and through a series of circumstances, I was living by myself, hiding food from myself. I lived by myself, and I was hiding it, and all of a sudden I came to and said, what are you doing with this? You are crazy again. I was 17 years sober and not happy again, and I knew there was only one solution, and that was to give up the food, and that was to come back to see how. And I still had Irish's email address, and she told me about the Phonebridge and the website. And thank God for the website. And thank God for the list of meetings. And there was no meetings close by, but you guys were as close as the phone. And I listened to meetings for about a week, and I called someone and said, I need a sponsor. And she gave me the name of my sponsor, who wasn't sponsoring at the time, I found out. But for some reason, I called her, and she said, yes. and she stood by me through all the relapses over this last year. And I can't be grateful enough for this. It is part and parcel with what I'd asked God when I first came to AA 18 years ago, was I want one life. I don't want this life and that life. I don't want a good life and the bad life and the good Roxanne and the bad Roxanne. I want a whole life. I want one set of guidelines for me to live my entire life. And he gave me a blue book, and now he's given me a gray book. And between a blue book and a gray book, I have a whole life again. And it's mending itself together. And today I have 10 days of back-to-back abstinence. And I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. And last night I got to go to my first full live meeting with smiling faces, reading and sharing, and can connect your faces to voices on phones and connect your faces to the program I have and I hold dear in my heart. So thank you so much for being here for me.
Eric, how are we doing on time? Anybody else want to introduce themselves? Now's a pretty good time.
Hello, everybody. My name is Maggie, compulsive eater. Glad to be here. I've enjoyed this workshop. Yesterday, I got to the meeting got here at about 5:00, and people were leaving. Wasn't going to be anything happening until the dinner, so I went home and had an abstinent meal, and everything was good. I wasn't upset by it. I just knew that I would be able to come today. I came to the regular OA program back in 1983, and I've had various abstinences. My last abstinence began September the 9th, 2009, and I noticed that I've been sponsored, but I'm very fortunate to be sponsored by people who just came in and that was it. They never had any ups and downs or whatever. But one thing that I've done is I've just kept coming back. I knew that this was the only path for me. I was fortunate when I did get into the program to be in the Bellflower area, which was right next to Downey, which was where one of the big CEA, I was actually a regular OA HAL meeting, and people would flock from all over. There'd be 200 people at the meeting. And it was a strong meeting, and Ray Z was in that meeting. And I also got to go to a workshop retreat in San Luis Rey with Fred S., so I got to meet him as well before he died. And one thing I'll never forget what he said, and it really stuck with me, was he said, when we go around the room and say we're a sponsor, like food inventory, step maintenance sponsor, and we don't say we're not available, because that's our program, is sharing the program. He says, even if you only say I'm available for outreach calls, whatever, but be available, don't say unavailable. And so I remember that, because he said, you know, we work the 12 steps every day to the best of our ability, and that's one of the steps, is to be available, to be of service. So I've always been available to be of service. I've always been able to tell my sponsees, if you want to get somebody else, I just broke my abstinence, and you can find somebody else, that's fine. It's up to you. And I've always been able to call Ray and ask for questions. I mean, I've always been humble and willing to work the program to the best of my ability. And I've gone from not having any higher power to relying on my higher power all the time. Throughout the day, I'm in communication, constantly communicating with God. And my concept of God has changed. I still have some resentment when I hear people talk about their higher power, because their higher power gives them everything that they want. Well, my higher power doesn't give me everything I want, and that's not the basis on which I turn to God or have faith. I figure God will get me through whatever happens. But I don't look at it as, because that's the Santa Claus higher power that I came in with that I rejected, because I saw everybody else getting a partner to dance with, or being cute or whatever, and then what was I getting? Dust, you know. So I came in hating that higher power that picked the other cuter people, you know, that liked the cute little girls in school and made them thin and made them cute, and there I was, fat and short and ugly. And, you know, I had that horrible concept of myself, and so I couldn't have a God that was going to give me abundance and all that. And so I know that I have a higher power because I have a feeling of being loved and guided and protected and cared for, but not because everything is happening perfectly for me or the people around me are, you know, bowing at my feet, lauding and adoring me. So it's great to be in the program, to have changed my concept of what I expect from others. I don't expect others to be my higher power now. I have a higher power that I seek when I'm trying to get that comfort that I always wanted as a child. I have a God that is going to provide for me that prince in shining armor feeling that I thought I would get from having a man. I have a higher power that's going to let me know that I don't have to go back for more food because I have enough, because I have my higher power. So this is a program that leads us to God. That's the whole purpose of it. And through abstinence and the tools and the steps, I am so grateful that I have that relationship with God now, that I have faith that God will protect me and take care of me. Thank you.
Again, good morning to everybody. We're coming to a close here on this workshop, thanks to Eric. And, I'm going to introduce myself again. I'm Gene. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And, I only have a year and 9 months in program. It seems like I walked in the door yesterday. Serenity and joy, I do not know, where that is, what that is. All I know is I came to lose the weight. I was very angry when I came in. I felt that there was no God that loved me. I wasn't looking for serenity and joy. I was looking to lose the weight and just to get out of myself. I carried a lot of weight for many years. I probably obese is what my doctor said I was. I hated that word. I liked chunky and big bone when I grew up with, but when she told me obese, I just couldn't deal with it anymore. That hit me hard. My knees gave out. My life was a mess. I thought I had serenity and joy growing up a kid. I thought I had a loving family. That's all I needed, you know. I was married twice, like Eric says. I was married once to my family, and then now I'm married to my wife, 27 years. Unfortunately, the family that I grew up in was a little bit chaotic, and the love that I gave back to them, being married to them, it seemed like there was nothing, I was no payoff. It seemed endless. It seemed like every time I open up, I'd get stepped on or just ripped apart because they could. They were my sisters, my brothers, my parents, whatever. My wife today, 27 years, she reminds me of my brothers and my mom and dad. Because they don't forget nothing. They remind you of things every so often. So losing the weight was one thing. Trying to find joy and serenity. I'm still looking. There's trials every day. I'm not sure that I understand a lot of the readings. I understand a lot of the things that happen in program. But what I do understand is that we're all here. We're all in the same place. I like to listen. I'm not a good talker, I'm not a good speaker, but I'm glad that people ask me to do things. You know, when they ask me to be of service, that helps me to identify that there's a long way to go. We all have a long way to go. I don't know, I'm just glad to be here. Thank you. Anybody want to introduce themselves before we close this, please come up. I don't know how much time we have, I don't have a watch. Nobody said anything to me, I'm just here.
Hi, I'm Shelley. I'm a compulsive eater. And don't want to share because I'm probably going to cry. But I don't want to hide in the meetings, and I'm kind of doing that already. I've been in C House since 98 and started in OA in 89, I think. 86, my daughter was born, and somewhere after she was born, about 3 years later, I got into OA. And I've had a good abstinence and got to go wait and had a good 10 years of abstinence. And have been slipping and sliding this last year. And this program is a gift. It's an awesome gift. And I've taken it for granted. And at the same time, Phil, I still have a whole lot of recovery and a whole lot of just gratitude for my God. Thank you. Who I'm also a sober alcoholic for 29 years and really picked up the food after the drugs and alcohol were down. And that was always a pretty easy abstinence from drugs and alcohol until this year. When I thought, you know, if I wasn't eating the food, I really could relax with a glass of wine. It's a whole lot less calories than the food I was picking up. And by God's grace, have not done that. And that it was never an obsession, but it used to never, I never even considered that. If I considered it, I knew I needed a meeting or I needed to call somebody. And the same with the food. And the food has just ever so slowly slipped back in. It became overeating healthy food, and then probably just the last, I don't remember what the date was, I used to remember the date, I picked up the old junk food, and have seen, I have 7 or 8 days abstinent, and I, with the goal that I could not sit at the meeting, I could not come to this retreat and not be able to pitch. And that was my goal. It wasn't any other noble cause. I just couldn't sit in these meetings and not be able to pitch. And thank you, God, that I get to be here. The one thing I really want to share that I have learned this year is the progression of this disease. That has been profoundly humbling. I have put down in my body more food of the same, in looking back, you know, when you get to look back at your history, oh, that one food, I went out on that one food 20 years ago after I had a good abstinence, picked up this one particular food that was a planned food, a planned quantity, and I was off. And the amounts of that food that I have picked up this summer has been astonishing. And also a wonderful gift to say, okay, God, this is real. My family, my I have a husband and two daughters and two grandkids, and they can all have one of this particular food that I eat. And I don't. When I'm there, I pick up the first bite and thought, I want to do this with my grandchildren. I'm going to sit down at this little nice little restaurant and have this food with my grandkids, and we're all going to sit down and just have it like a regular grandma does. This is what I'm thinking. And the first bite, I was planning how I was going to get more, what I was going to do with the grandkids who were too little to sit alone so that I could go refill my cup. And then I brought more home, then went back that night and thought, well, that's just one time because I haven't eaten it in so long. But it's repeated and repeated. So I've now been praying, God, do I really need to give up this food? Is that, this just seems so unnatural. And in my AA meetings, heard a guy, you know, when you're on your knees that morning, you're asking God, God, can I? And this is where I began, you know, 15, 11 years ago with a sponsor who I was telling her it was too hard to sit, to be... This program was too hard, and I'd had this lady helped me get to maintenance. I was about 10 pounds away, and she's the one that convinced me if I wanted to get to my dream to bring my scale to the meetings, my scale to restaurants. And I started doing that, and I hit goal weight and was very excited about it. And this lady, I was visiting my father, who I loved dearly, but also died behind diabetes. And I knew he was, I'm a nurse, so watching him, you know, health is pretty prevalent, and I could see his medical disease progressing. And I was sitting across from him as he was offering me this wonderful breakfast time, you know, stuff that we always did, and I would share food with him. And, you know, while stepmom's in bed, and it's just him and I at breakfast, is always a pretty intimate time between he and I. We had some, I mean, we never were intimate, which is one of the, I don't mean, you know what I mean, being able to talk to your dad. That was just a good, that was a good time, morning time with dad. And I was, whatever age I was, and thought, this is too hard. I need to be able to share this food with him that he's offering me, like that chocolate thing in your face, you know. It was so offensive for me not to join him. And I told my sponsor, this is too hard. I don't think this is the right for me. And she said, I want you to hit your knees when we get off the phone and you ask God if this is where he wants you. You ask God. And I did. And I get this profoundly wonderful vision of God's requirements for taking care of his temple in the Old Testament. They were huge. There was a lot required. And that's what I needed to do for this temple, for his temple. And so I'm back there. I'm back there realizing that I started to say, I went to an AA meeting after praying that prayer. God, do I really need to give up this food? Can't I, will you please heal me so that I can have one? Can't I just have one? I went to a meeting that morning and heard a guy say, this guy that I love, that God often speaks through to me. He doesn't know it, but, you know, when those epiphanies happen. And he was talking about drugs, and he said, it will never be okay for me to have just one. And, man, I'm pissed about that. I really, can't believe it. And I've had the gift of seeing this, hit me if I'm going over, would you? Is it over? Is there enough time?
Go for it. I'll get coffee.
I forgot what I was going to say. Well, I'm really grateful to be here and thankful that you guys have stuck with the program. And please know it's a progressive disease. If you pick up, it's like you've been eating for 20 years. And that's what I've seen. It's been very painful to realize the amount that I have to take in to try to get satisfied doesn't work. So I'm really grateful you guys are here for me. Thanks. Thank you.
We got a couple minutes if anybody wants to introduce themselves before we close this session. If not, we can close. If anybody would want to introduce anything, other workshops coming up, now probably be a good time. Otherwise, we'll close with a serenity prayer so we can keep going. All right. Here we go. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. Thank you, everybody.